This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When it debuted on Broadway in 1975, The Wiz became a sensation for its music and storytelling that was a metaphor for the Black American experience. And the 1978 adaptation on film featuring Diana Ross in the lead role that we're hearing now cemented The Wiz's legacy. A nationally touring revival of the Tony Award-winning classic, officially called The Wiz, the super soul musical Wonderful Wizard of Oz, touched down in St. Louis in November and finished its run at the Fabulous Fox this past Sunday. For longtime fans of the original 1975 Broadway production starring Stephanie Mills as Dorothy or the 1978 film, the revival may differ from what they remember. A new script by comedian and writer Amber Ruffin features updated story beats and theming. The production also includes a modernized sound that's true to the original, but brings things into the 2020s with New Orleans bounce, modern slang, and swag. In the wake of the May 16th tornado, the themes of The Wiz, Dorothy's journey of self-discovery, and her experiences of community draw striking parallels to what St. Louis is facing and how community members have stepped up to support one another. A new pop-up exhibit called Through Oz is now showing at the Kranzberg Arts Foundation's pop-up space at the Legends Art Gallery. Its showcase of items from various Wiz productions over the years invites viewers to explore the ways that fantasy, entertainment, and storytelling can create greater understanding of different life experiences. Here to discuss the exhibit, the community impact of storytelling and fantasy, and The Wiz itself, we have Nicole Hudson, a co-producer for the current national tour of The Wiz. Nicole, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Nicole, you are our resident expert on The Wiz, so let's get a little bit of background on how this revival came to be. What's the quick and dirty on how this reimagining came about?
So the quick and dirty takes us right through St. Louis. Mike Isaacson, who is our executive producer at the beloved Muni, is part of the lead commercial producing team for this new revival. And in 2018, he worked with Amber Ruffin for the production that some of us might remember at the Muni to start to do some rewrites on this beloved classic. And then the pandemic happened. And in 2021, they announced The Wiz is headed back to Broadway, and developed a set of producers and co-producers and creative team to bring this classic into the 2020s.
Mm-hmm. So for those who are not familiar with Amber Ruffin, she is a comedian and writer, we noted, and she's also the first Black woman to write for a late night network talk show when she joined Late Night with Seth Meyers in 2014. How did the script get into her hands? Was she on a wish list of some sort?
You know, you'd have to talk to Mike about that one. I don't actually know that backstory.
Okay.
But I know that they reached out to her. She was very excited to talk about it. She's talked about it a lot over the last handful of years as they've worked on this new revival. And I think it's really special and not very well known that the production we saw here at the Muni in 2018 was the first crack at that, was the beginning of that journey.
Mm-hmm. When you heard that Amber Ruffin was going to be involved, what went through your mind?
So I love The Wiz. I've done The Wiz as a high school student, as a college student, and tried to do work on commercial productions for decades. And one of the things people generally say about that show is it's beloved and it's fun, but the script needs work, needs love. Mm-hmm. So thinking about a comedian who also has such a pulse on both current culture and its ties to history and context was really exciting. And I think that really shows in this new version of the show.
Mm-hmm. Our producer, Darius Varner, he actually saw the show at the Fox on Sunday, which was its last performance there. And he said that it did feel very modern, mm-hmm. but it retained that 70s
yes.
sort of vibe somehow. With the pace in how, you know, things change so quickly, right? The Muni production in 2018 and then what is now touring the country, how similar are they? Is it just the same, or have there been some updates made even So
absolutely, more updates have been made. I think when I spoke with Mike about it, he mentioned that maybe what we saw at the Muni had 30% of the book changed. And I don't know what the percentage is, but those who have seen it and who know the original and have seen this one, there's a lot more backstory. I think there's a lot more anchoring in the social fabric, both of the urban realities and also our larger national political realities. And they've had the opportunity to work on it. They had the opportunity to work on it leading into the pre-Broadway tour. They had the opportunity to work on it again when it hit Broadway. And now what happens when you take something out on the road, you get another chance to work on things. So mm-hmm. they've had a couple chances to really dial it in.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to invite you to be part of this conversation. Has The Wiz been a part of the love of musical theater that you have had over the years? And if you've seen the revival, what about it resonates with you and seems to speak to the now? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send an email to talk@stlpr.org. Now, Nicole, we said in our introduction that you are a co-producer on the current national tour. What has that involved?
It's involved raising capital.
Getting that money.
Getting that money in the door, right. So the business of commercial theater has changed a lot. Back in the day, I started in my life working for Cameron McIntosh, who was an impresario, some would say, a producer who would have investors. You may or may not know their names, and they would produce these big shows. And nowadays, independent producers work with lots of different co-producers who help raise the capital to get that show up and open on the Great White Way and beyond, and then once it runs, the show kind of propels itself. Hopefully that's the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of St. Louis backing for this national tour. What do you think accounts for that?
I think that there has been a set of commercial producers who've produced on Broadway for decades that are based here in St. Louis. So our tie to the Fabulous Fox, the Stages, the Muni, there are a number of donors that have supported arts in St. Louis who've become commercial producers and investors over the last couple decades. And I think that's a whole show that you could do talking about the infrastructure and ties to commercial theater as we broadly understand to be Broadway, but is a much larger institution, and how much of that is anchored and supported here from St. Louis.
Was there then an appetite, like a ready appetite for The Wiz when you started talking with people about it here?
There really was. And I had always known I wanted to be a producer from the logistics standpoint, putting together disparate logistics and things and making them into something whole is like what I do in many, many categories. I wasn't sure I could ever raise capital, though. That was something I always thought, can I actually do that? And with The Wiz, it was such an easy, natural conversation. Here's the thing I'm excited about. Here's the thing that means a lot to me. Here are the opportunities. And many of the people, all the people that we raised capital from were first-time Broadway investors, a lot of them from St. Louis, mm-hmm. more than half. And they also said thank you. They said thank you for this opportunity to participate in this thing I didn't know that I could participate in. So I thought, I wasn't sure how I would enter it, but it became very natural because it was The Wiz. And people, yes, were very quick to say, tell me more. I'd love to learn about that.
Are there any investors that you can share with us?
I would want to talk to somebody. Yeah. I mean, some people are very upfront about it. And they're mm-hmm. like, I'm so proud to have done this. Yeah. And other people, I maybe don't want everybody calling them.
That's,
It's something that you kind of, if I talked to some people ahead of time, I'm mm-hmm. sure there are people I could mention, but wouldn't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, those folks can get in touch with us and let us know who they are. Now, going back to the original Broadway run and the Diana Ross film, The Wiz broke through a number of barriers, especially in representation. And this question that I had asked about people's appetite, do you think that representation and maybe where things have not gone is part of the reason you had first-time investors so excited?
Mm-hmm. I would say a couple of things. I think that something that I noticed from my regional work, just generally around disparities, economic opportunity, et cetera, is that there's the surface level understanding of what we can see, and then there's the more in-depth set of systems and habits and processes that produce the outcomes that we see. And I would say that for entertainment broadly, it's not different. So I think the idea of representation, having a show that is so clearly representing Black community and Black people, is the beginning, and that sort of back end of who's making the money, who's making the decisions. There was a New York Times feature on the creative team for The Wiz that talked about the different people who were able to be in lead creative positions and interpret the show in their way. And then when you start to talk about the finances, you know, it's a whole set of layers. So I think that, yes, that was a piece of the beginning, the entry point was about, yes, we want to see this come to life again. We want to see a new generation have access to it. And then people participating. And I'll say that all of our investors were very different backgrounds, but for many, it was very exciting.
Yeah. We need to take a quick break, but we'll come back shortly to continue this conversation, specifically about the St. Louis connections to the original Broadway run of The Wiz, its revival currently touring the U.S., and a pop-up exhibition in Grand Center. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Today, we're easing on down the road with a conversation about the beloved Broadway musical, The Wiz, and the deep St. Louis connections to the original production and a reimagined version now touring the U.S. I'm here with Nicole Hudson. She is co-producer of the national tour that just left St. Louis. Now, Legends Gallery in Midtown is the Kranzberg Arts Foundation's new gallery space. And from now until Friday, December 19th, the pop-up gallery is hosting Through Oz, an exhibition showcasing items from various productions of The Wiz over the years. Producer Darius Varner took a tour of that gallery with you, Nicole, and here's a snapshot of that walkthrough.
We have various artifacts that are programs and reminders of times that The Wiz has been here to St. Louis, mixed with some pieces that come from actual productions. We've got Dorothy's shoes from the original Broadway production that were worn by Stephanie Mills. And we've also got some set models from the Muni 2018 production, which was part of the legacy of this version of The Wiz that we can see, or saw at the Fox. And then we have some opportunities for community to reflect on what this idea of a journey to Oz might mean for them, or what sorts of things they might realize if they look at things through that lens.
In the back half of the gallery, there are markers and paper and three boards where guests are encouraged to leave comments prompted by the question, what does the 2024 version of The Wiz invite us to consider, realize, see, and dream through its journey to, through, and home from Oz? There's also community boards from Invest STL and For the Ville that prompt guests to examine what their Black future looks like personally, in their neighborhoods, and in St. Louis as a whole. But before we can head to those community boards and leave our reflections, we have to stop and see these amazing images. The Cowardly Lion crooning, Dorothy belting, headshots, bios, all framed and hanging on the walls.
This is a series of prints from the program, the souvenir program. So when you go to a musical, you get the program they hand you, but then you can buy the souvenir program, which has special photos and extended bios and all sorts of fun stuff. And this is one from when The Wiz was in St. Louis in 1993. It was a revival mostly of the original production from the 70s. It's important to note the name of The Wiz. The Wiz, the super soul musical, quote-unquote, Wonderful Wizard of Oz. I like the full name because it's specific, right? It doesn't just say The Wiz. It doesn't say the all-anything version of anything. It just says the Super Soul musical Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Anyway, so this is the original album cover and the insert that kind of tells the story of the background of the creation of The Wiz, and then gives you a little synopsis of what happens in The Wiz. And we have, this is a special release that is magenta, I think they called it, but it's a bright pink vinyl. And then we included the special release of the new Broadway recording, and it is emerald green. So it's a nice, beautiful, striking. My husband said, I need this to come on our wall at our house after it comes out of the exhibit, because it's just so striking to see the magenta and the green there together.
We move on from here to the crown jewel of this exhibit, the original silver slippers worn by Stephanie Mills.
Yeah, so we have the silver slippers. So for those who know the original Wizard of Oz story from 1900, the slippers are silver. They were made ruby in the MGM film so that they could show off their Technicolor chops. Silver was not exciting enough for them. These are from the original Broadway production. They were worn by Stephanie Mills. And they're here because Ken Page, who is a St. Louis legend, rest in peace, he was the lion in the original production of The Wiz, not the opening night, but he played the lion for a long time with Stephanie, and Stephanie had given him these shoes.
That's a crazy little piece of history that he just had the shoes.
In the closet.
In the closet.
Just chilling.
Just chilling in the closet.
But also so St. Louis, I think, is to just have something that's like an heirloom. Just chilling.
In your closet. That is something I think is present in this curation here, that we have so much here in St. Louis that's just kind of at our fingertips. And when you put it together and look at how it's connected to so many things, it's like, oh, wow, that's, yes, of course. And, you know, those of us who are here in St. Louis and active and enjoy all the different connections and types of things or feel like it's obvious. But when you kind of pull back and put it on display, it's actually kind of neat.
Sweet thing, let me tell you. And that was producer Darius Varner getting a walkthrough of the pop-up space and the Through Oz pop-up exhibition, along with Nicole Hudson. I'd like to bring two more voices into this conversation. Hevia McGowan is artist in residence at the Kranzberg Arts Foundation. Hevia, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Grateful to be here. Thank you.
And rounding out our trio today is Aaron Williams. He's president of For the Ville. Aaron, great to have you back on the show.
Always happy to be here.
So we've just heard a description of what is in this pop-up exhibit, and I do want to get to the lore around Stephanie Mills' shoes in a moment. But Hevia, you are the designer of three prints that are being used to promote or advertise this show. How did you approach creating this artwork?
Yeah, when I was brought onto the project with Nicole and Gina, they really wanted to keep the essence of the original illustration of the Tornado Lady. It was really painterly brush strokes that really depicted, I think, movement and spoke greatly to the idea of the tornado. And so I wanted to keep some of that essence in there. And so with that, my process was kind of like cutting down that image and taking pieces of that movement and applying it to the different prints just to get a sense of movement, because I don't think there was any reason to change that. It was really beautiful line work and approach in that way. And then adding into the St. Louis, of course, the arch is a very instant, you know, that's about St. Louis. So we wanted that to click instantly with people. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how that came about. And then the different colorways came from the original vinyl, as Nicole spoke to. There's a lot of different colors, magenta, blues, greens, and I wanted everybody to be able to see the different variations and how some of those gradients come together in different ways, and so that's how we came out to have the different colorways in each print.
Were you listening to any of the music from The Wiz as you were doing this work?
Absolutely. Okay. That grew up in that for me, so a lot of that, Slide Some Oil on Me, The Tin Man, the Emerald City scene, all of that is like very much, I'm steeped in that music. So,
So Aaron, the prints of these posters are available and proceeds will be supporting both Invest STL and For the Ville, and your two organizations, these two organizations, that is, have really been at the center of community support since the tornado on May 16th. And I do understand that For the Ville has had a long-standing relationship or partnership with KAF. How is that connected to this particular pop-up?
Yeah, so I think the relationship between KF and For the Bill is that we both believe that it is through our arts and cultural heritage that a lot of St. Louis will be revived and transformed. And when opportunities like this come about, it is a chance for us to exhibit how that can be realized.
And storytelling is really integral to what For the Ville does, right?
Absolutely.
In what way?
Well, we firmly believe that our past always whispers to our future, and even more so, it endows our future with all the answers and the inspiration that we need to move forward. So whenever we are participating in something, we're always looking back to say, what was that moment back then where they had already done and they had already paved the way for what we're trying to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is a storytelling process.
And the collaboration too with Invest STL.
Yeah, so I mean, there's so much synergy between For the Ville and Invest STL, even before, you know, the tornado. At the very formal side of it, they are a supporter of us as a community-based organization, but their mission and vision very much so aligns with ours in really helping our communities to restore dignity by looking back to all the things that we've already figured out and do an amazing job of.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, in hearing Javier and Aaron talk about how they've been involved with this pop-up and just work in the community overall, what is coming to mind for you?
I am somebody who often sees connections that are confusing to other people. So I'll say, oh, obviously these things go together. And somebody like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew instinctively as I was wrapping my brain around the obvious connections to me between the Wiz being here, the revival, the St. Louis pieces, I reached out instinctively to Invest STL and For the Ville and said, I know that you understand this ethos of how our stories and what came before and patterns weave into what we need to move forward. What do you have that might fit this? And immediately I heard back, oh, we did this event and we did that event and we used that approach and here's some of the artifacts and we'd be happy to share them. And it's really special when you see something that feels like a mishmash of things in your brain be able to sort of like pop into the plane of the real and be able to point to the different pieces and hear and see reflected back those connections and how deep they go.
Mm-hmm. When we got that walkthrough of the exhibition, there is that space where community members are invited to leave their reflections. Why does that feel like something that is especially necessary right now, Aaron?
I think it's necessary because in times like this, we have to leave room for people to sort of celebrate our resilience and celebrate our ability to sort of navigate challenging times. And I think this exhibit does a very good job of exhibiting that through one of all of our favorite, you know, childhood memories, which is experiencing the Wiz.
Mm-hmm. Has the opportunity to be part of this project, Javier, with your art been particularly meaningful for you?
Yeah, I think so, especially within the last 3 years I've been living on the north side of St. Louis. So when that actually happened, I was there and just being able to see things go from beautiful on the street to people with roofs missing, I think I wasn't really able to unpack that in an artistic way. And I feel like that was really meaningful to me to be able to do that and kind of work through the emotions of that. And going back to the question of why that prompt in the show was important, like people need to unpack that as well through writing and thinking about what happened and then leaving that there and thinking about what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a beautiful process.
Yeah.
Something that I was thinking about is I knew the Wiz was coming to town for 2 weeks, and we knew this before the tornado happened because you set your road schedule ahead. How do you intentionally and in relationship celebrate a story that centers a tornado in the aftermath of what we are still going through and the realities of how complex that was? And wrestling with that question is how we got to this idea of allowing people to bring their own perspective. We are gifted often in stories the ability to process things because we get some distance. And so the idea of asking the question about before Oz, Dorothy felt, through Oz, Dorothy discovered, and home from Oz, Dorothy now knows, like, what does that mean for you? Put yourself in Dorothy's shoes, or even as somebody who's outside of it, what did you observe pre, during, and because of? It's a really unique opportunity for multiple people with multiple experiences from multiple perspectives to process through the same lens, which is something we very much need and benefit from in St. Louis when we can do together.
Mm-hmm. This work, we're talking about theater for some who've not seen the Broadway version or the stage version. It's through the film. How is this something that is important? How does narrative and fiction help people? And how have you seen it help people, Aaron?
I think that fiction allows us to make sense of things that we're going through and then also clarify a picture of what the future can look like for us. By, you know, existing outside of reality, it affords us that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. With your art, Javier, when people look at this, what do you want them to remember about this time and maybe to be thinking about in the future?
Yeah, I think initially I want the complexity of what happened to be felt because of the layering and the swirls and all of that, but also the beauty that can come from that layering and looking deeper into it. So I think it's both complexity, but also the beauty of that complexity.
Mm-hmm. The tornado is happening within a very particular context, socially, culturally, politically. Nicole, you'd mentioned, you know, the schedule was already set for the revival to come through. You also talked about wrestling. Was there any concern also that it doing something that is tornado specific might feel like just a way to promote the show?
That was part of the thought. I was clear, and Gina Grafos, who invited us to be in the pop-up space with the Kreansburg Arts Foundation, we were clear that there was an opportunity for a lot of deep meaning, and we were clear if we weren't explicit about that, and there wasn't an invitation, and it wasn't in partnership with people who have been on the front lines, that it would fall that way. It would fall false. And being able to lean into what might be uncomfortable, to lean to somebody and say, hey, this feels weird. What do you think? How might you move through that? That's when you can come to something collaborative that really gets at that context. When we see context and complexity, we often want to shut down and make it really simple. So finding ways to sort of like reconstitute that complexity and make it maybe plain or straightforward is often the opportunity to invite people into it who would otherwise maybe shut down and walk away.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, you're nodding vigorously.
Yeah, I mean, in times like this, I think we are often inclined to dismiss our need for moments of joy and reflection. And it's always the arts that reminds us to make space for that. And this is a serendipitous moment that The Wiz comes to St. Louis at this time. I'm happy Nicole identified this opportunity. These are the moments we need as we continue to navigate through recovery of the storm. We have to protect these opportunities for our community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful.
Yeah. We also want to hear from you and maybe how fantasy and fiction, how theater and works like The Wiz have helped you get through times that are difficult. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. Before we go to a quick break, Javier, when you finished this art, I mean, was there a point at which you knew you were done and that you could step away from it?
I think through design, there's always this collaboration process of iterations and going through that. And with this process, it was the same, which I'm really grateful for, because there was moments where I was like, this feels good, but I was pushed to, okay, how can we make this a little bit more clear, or how can we tweak this a little bit? Mm-hmm. And I think that was important, because when you're trying to find a solution to something, it's not always the first answer that you come to, and you have to be in conjunction with other people and hear their takes on it and take that in and, you know, come out with something else and being able to, like, absorb that feedback. I think that was really important and just important for work in general.
We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will continue with this conversation about The Wiz and how it relates to St. Louis, both past, present, and future. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's continue with our hour of talking about The Wiz and its connections to St. Louis. I'm here with Nicole Hudson, a co-producer on the national tour that just left St. Louis, also with Kranzberg Arts Foundation Artist-in-Residence, Hevia McGowan, and Aaron Williams, who is the president of For the Ville. Before the break, Hevia, I had asked you about when you knew you were done with these posters that are going to be for sale in order to support some of the work that is happening with Invest STL and For the Ville. And Aaron, you had some things to respond with to that.
Well, yeah, I just expressed to Javier that I enjoy listening to her talk about the creative process. And I had never heard someone refer to the iterative process of design as a collaborative experience. But it makes so much sense. So I just really appreciated it. But also, that's very resonant with how we've dealt with this tornado, the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when the most magical things happen, when we allow for iteration and allow for mistakes.
Now, each of you have been in the pop-up. And I think that there are still some pieces that are going to be added. So this is a dynamic space. What were your feelings going through the exhibition? And what was it making you think about, you know, potential for the future? Hevia?
Yeah. One really big thing I liked about the exhibition is how intimate and quiet it is. A lot of the pieces in there require you to come up close and really interact with it. In an intimate way, and it made me just think about how through the process of designing and through the event of the tornado, how you had to come in closer to your neighbors, to people, and just really build intimate relationships, unfortunately through a tragedy, but it had me thinking about the closeness that was built through everything.
Aaron, what were your thoughts walking through that space?
Of course, I went back to history and going through the exhibit. One, it really cemented the connection between the Wiz and the tornado that we're experiencing now. But it made me recall history in 1927 when our communities went through the same thing and responded the exact same way. Similar to the Wiz, one of the lessons is that everything you need is already in you. And the exhibit puts that on display, past, present, and future, how St. Louis is stepping up to that.
And I did want to share some hard-hitting breaking news from Gina Grafos, who's the Kranzberg Arts Foundation Chief Curator and Director of Visual and Literary Art. And before we started the show, we thought this exhibition would only be up through the 19th, but it will now be going into the new year through January 26th. So this is more time for folks not only to experience what is there, but also to contribute to what's in there, and in particular in that community space. As I understand it, this pop-up was not planned from the beginning. So how did this happen, Nicole?
You know, this happened in my favorite way, which is being in relationship and conversation with people. And Gina and I were at a dinner, actually, and she was saying, you know, we're going to have this gallery space open when Chuck D stuff comes down. Would you be interested in doing something for The Wiz? And I said yes before I knew what it was going to be.
Okay.
And, you know, my favorite thing is to find new collaborators and new people to sort of grapple through things with. And so I'm really excited that it's become this. And now hearing that it's going to be up for a little over another month, you know, the opportunity to add to it and to notice what other things that we can put in is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, you have been in St. Louis through a lot of times of change and upheaval. What are the parallels that you see mm-hmm. between particularly what happened in 2014 and the Ferguson uprising, and what is happening right now?
Yeah. I have come to a place where I have decided that the best way for me to continue to really grapple and lean into the complexities of St. Louis is to reach back to my love of musical theater, right? So in a musical, when things become so much that you can't speak anymore, you sing. And then when they become too much for singing, you dance. And there's so much about what happens and has happened and the number of times and patterns the same things have happened in different ways in this region that sometimes you think you might be going a little bit sideways. And so one of the ways I've started to see that is like, oh, this is a musical. In a musical, they present you with a world. It may or may not make sense. And the audience sits there for 2.5 hours and you engage mm-hmm. and you know, discover. So I think there was a new report that came out recently and I wrote on social media, you know, this is bringing to mind an opening of Act Two that's called reports. And you've got people coming out. Maybe you've got different scenes, different types of table over time. And people are talking about their report and what's best about their reports. And the chorus is like a big group of people singing about their reports. Like that makes total sense, of course. You know, so how else do you exist in a world where there are three executive branches that get elected through, you know, and they don't have to actually meet with each other? That's the musical world we've been given. How might we engage? Maybe it's time for a dance number.
And there is nodding from you, Evia. And Aaron, do you want to respond at all to that?
Yeah, just I think art, for me visually, is a great way to like interact with the concept of just insanity, really. Yeah, just being able to draw it out, fantasy and all of these different things for how you can solve an insane, unsolvable, probably question. So, yeah, I think art is the way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my thought. Go ahead.
Well,
this is all fun, really fun.
And I want to add, like, to be clear, lives are at stake. Livelihoods are at stake.
Yes.
People are suffering. Things are not good for people. And at the same time, there are structures that continue to happen, and how do we stay engaged in both the pain and the tragedy that's happening and also the ridiculousness and also find ways forward? Being able to acknowledge all those things that are happening at the same time is a key part of being able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thought was, and I'll say it in two ways. The people always have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think The Wiz teaches us that. This tornado has taught us that. And we have to remember that form should follow function, not the other way around. We do a lot of forming and then trying to function around it. But if this play and this moment tells us anything, is that you need to observe how people are functioning and then give them the tools they need to stabilize that.
Mm-hmm. And on that note about tools, literal and figurative, the proceeds from sales of these posters are going to go to For the Ville and to Invest STL. How will those funds be used? Where are they going to be most needed?
Yeah, so in the immediate sense, as a community-based organization and having an intimate relationship with our neighbors, we are very responsive to community members that come to us with specific needs. We know that we don't have the resources to build a whole system around tornado recovery, but we can be the good neighbor, right, when they call us with whatever it is and try to find the solution. So it goes toward that, but also we're going back to what we were already working on, which is finding the long-term solutions to recovering and restoring our community, right? Now it's just even more important because of the tornado. So you will see a lot of activity on the MLK corridor to again, give our community or protect that space for our community to reflect, to heal, and to find joy in these moments. Mm-hmm. We will be doing a lot of that.
In our last minute, I want to hear from each of you very quickly. What is the part of The Wiz that you feel, you know, best reflects what's going on? Is there a scene, a song?
There's a line that Amber Ruffin wrote that happens at the beginning and the end where Dorothy quotes her mother and she says, the bad stuff, that I think it's the bad stuff's there just to remind you how good you got it.
All right, is that a mic drop or?
I don't know, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
So we'll go to Javier first.
I think about the ending song, the home song, thinking about Diana Ross and just her, like, I don't know, starting to appreciate home and all of those things. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's a big one, appreciating St. Louis and all the people and things here.
Javier McGowan is artist in residence for KAF. Aaron Williams is president of For the Ville. And Nicole Hudson is co-producer for the Wiz National Tour. Thank you, all of you, for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Darius Varner.
Audio engineering and sound design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.